come back in. Maybe every other week, if we can do that. Bing bang. We may do a show from Bing bang. I just want to say that. I just like saying that. Hawkeye Huddle tonight. Twins Royals. Chiefs Chargers on Thursday. What a game that's going to be. That is must-see TV right there. You probably can split hairs over the five or six best quarterbacks, but there's two of them right there. That division, if you think about that, Justin Herbert, Derek Carr, Patrick Mahomes. I mean, they're Justin Herbert, that's crazy. Crazy. And Russell Wilson. Wow. Then you're going to get Twins Guardians. Twins, this is put up or shut up this next week. They got games. They can make games up. If not, not that Rocco has things that he has to explain, but they need more depth and they need a little bit more talent. You know, they were doing it with smoke and mirrors early in the season. You're going to get UNI Sacramento State at 3:00 Sunday. You get Dolphins Ravens. Check this out, folks. This is awesome. You get Dolphins Ravens, Bengals Cowboys, Bears Packers, Titans Bills, Vikings Eagles. That is amazing. Okay, so he told me Wednesday. My son just said, how's everyone, Susan? I just talked to him the other day on what he wanted to do, and I thought he said Wednesday. I'm going to tell him he said Wednesday. And he's listening to me. I even said at the beginning of the show that he was coming on Wednesday. He's going to win that fight because I'm old and I forget things, so I never win these fights anymore. So, sorry, son. I did not miss you. I just had you down for Thursday. It's my fault. That gives us one more day. We'll be good. that's funny. Oh, I did say 5:00 on Tuesday. Yeah, I did. That's my bad. But now I've wasted too much time, so he's going to have to come on tomorrow. Where was I at? He said, go Seahawks. Gotta love him. He is so special. Okay, see, now he totally blew me out of the water of what I'm doing. See, that's why you don't look at your phone when you're doing a live radio show. No, I was talking about quarterbacks and the fact that you have that many good quarterbacks in that particular place at this particular time is just unbelievable. There's some pretty good. I was talking about the Dolphins and the Bengals. The lowest percentage of off target throws over this first weekend. And if you're listening to offensive coordinators, quarterback coaches, this is the kind of thing that they're looking for, and that's why. I read this article today about that. That's why I was saying about my concerns about Spencer for the Hawkeyes is on some of those throws that are wide open throws that he should be making with ease, he's throwing all of them high. Percentage of off-target throws. Daniel Jones, all his throws that he had this past week, he had zero off-target throws. Josh Allen had zero. Kirk Cousins had 3.1. Kyler Murray had 5.4. That's pretty incredible when you think about everything that's at stake all the time, that you had that few of off-target. You know, you would think that you would have off-target throws. This is one that Patrick Mahomes gets kind of hit up on all the time. Is his, because his off-target throws are a little higher. When somebody's not open, he just throws the ball into the ground. He's learned in his last couple of years that he doesn't need to throw interceptions, that he gets another chance. And I think that's pretty pretty incredible. So getting back to, I have a couple of coaches left. Brian Daboll, I talked about him. Kevin O'Connell, what the confidence that it looks like he has in Kirk Cousins, you can tell that that's helping. You have Justin Jefferson, who's a breakout wide receiver, and you have Adam Thielen, who I think he only had 5 targets at him. That's going to change because people are going to start trying to double up. But Kevin O'Connell's changed the atmosphere. It's changed the excitement. You could tell it with the fans. You could tell it on the field. And then the biggest one, Mike McDaniel, came in. He understands what people can do. He's had Jimmy Garoppolo. He's had Trey Lance. He understands the difference between strengths and weaknesses. Every once in a while, you have got to go out on an island and let them make some throws that you're not confident in, the weakness part. But the majority of your plays should be run to the strength of what your quarterback does. That's been a lot of downfalls of a lot of quarterbacks is bad coaching. Tua has 2 of the fastest wide receivers in football. If they're not 1-2, they're 1-3 or 1-4. And you don't have to throw the ball 40 yards to him to get him open. You can throw the ball 5 yards. If you look at the majority of long touchdowns that Tyreek Hill had with Patrick Mahomes, they weren't from 50-yard passes. They were from 5, 10, 15-yard passes that he threw him into open field. And then Tyreek Hill's unbelievable talent took him a long way. So I think that's a really it's going to be a different thing for Tua. You have to build that confidence, and you can't be trying to make him do things, and you can't say, well, we're not going to let him throw because, you know, we're going to run the ball. It's not a defensive system anymore. It's an offensive system. I just think that's the way of the NFL. It's the way of college football, too. Nick Saban had to change. A lot of these coaches have had to change the way they coach. And sooner or later, Kirk Ferentz is going to have to change the way he coaches. There's been 2 college games already this year that have had over 10 million viewers. Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Alabama, Texas both had over 10 million viewers. I think college football is in a really, really good place. TJ Watt, I don't think he's going to have surgery. I don't think he's going to be out for the whole 6 weeks. I think he's going to be out for 4, but I don't think he's going to be out for all 6. Who else do we have? Dak Prescott, they're not even putting him on IR. So if he heals quicker than what they thought, if you go on IR, you're out for 4 weeks. Maybe he plays, but not putting him on IR, he can practice at the facility. He can be in the facility. He can do all of that because he's not on injured reserve. This was one of the things in the first hour, we got B Styles coming up. So we're going to talk some football. I saw, you know, 3 weeks ago, 3.5 weeks ago, gas prices were down, grocery prices were down, plane tickets were down, equipment was down. And in 3 weeks, gas prices today from when I drive for my job, I drive around a lot. Gas prices, I was excited. I saw my first in like a 5-mile radius between East Des Moines and Altoona. I saw my first under $3, $2.99. And then I saw the lowest that I'd seen is $2.97. Drive by today and they're $3.29, $3.32. That's not good. That's a thing that you have to control. You know, and I've said that about coaches. You know, you have to be able to control the situation. Kirk struggled today in doing that. I don't know if somebody asked Matt Campbell today about Nebraska. I didn't see the whole press conference. I wanted to know how Matt handled that. I think he would handle it. You know, that's not a question that I can answer. I have nothing to do with that. It's not even in my radar. It shouldn't be in his radar, but They were having a press conference today, and this is government work. And my wife happens to work for the government, and I love her, and I love the government. But this was kind of funny. So sorry, and love you. Love you, Nana. Love you, DJ. The White House was having a press conference, and they were having a press conference to congratulate government for passing legislation for trying to lower inflation while the stock market fell 1,300 points and gas went up 59 cents a gallon. That wasn't good timing. You got to have good timing. You know, comedians have to have good timing. Politicians have to have good timing. That was not good timing today. This one surprised me. So it had four quarterbacks in the NFL today. And it had best record by a quarterback against a single opponent since 2000, minimum 15 starts. This is crazy. Joe Flacco is 17-3 against the Browns. Peyton Manning was 17-3 against the Texans. Ben Roethlisberger was 25-2-1 against the Browns until they got a new coaching staff. That's how bad those Hugh Jackson coaching staffs were. The best record of anybody. This one hurts. And it's not getting any better. And it seems strange to me that it's not getting any better. Tom Brady versus the Buffalo Bills. If I asked you to guess, I would have never, not in a million years would I have get 33-3 since 2000 against the Buffalo Bills. Now, granted, he plays them twice a year, and it seems like he must have missed a couple of games, but he gets them twice a year, so you understand that. Roethlisberger got the Browns twice a year. Peyton Manning got the Texans twice a year, and Joe Flacco got the Browns at least twice a year, and then he beat him. I think he beat him as a Jet as well. So that's a crazy, thing to 33-3 against a. I mean, those are some good Buffalo Bills. Highest passer rating on 10 plus yard throws over the weekend. This changes people's minds sometimes. Kirk Cousins, a great downfield passer, struggles with short passing. Justin Herbert, we all know he has a cannon. Jameis Winston, we know, has a cannon. Sometimes it's his short ones that he doesn't know where they're going. And another one, Geno Smith has a cannon for an arm as well. It's his decision making that takes away from him. Top five rushing leaders. This is always, you have passing leaders and you have rushing leaders, and then you want to put wins and losses with them. Rushing leaders this week. Saquon Barkley, 164, win. Jonathan Taylor, 161, tie. DeAndre Swift, 144, loss. Nick Chubb, 141, win. And Leonard Fournette, 127, win. And that 127 helped Tom Brady with losing some weapons that Leonard Fournette did what he did. If you were looking for an MVP of the New England Patriots this past weekend, there was your MVP right there. Let's see here. Robert Sarver is a Phoenix Suns owner and the Phoenix Mercury owner. I think that's Phoenix Suns and Phoenix Mercury, was fined $10 million, has been suspended for 1 year, and fined $10 million by the NBA as a result of an investigation in the Suns franchise. Uh, he had instances of inequitable conduct toward female employees, bad comments, inappropriate comments, inappropriate racial comments. So when you're looking at that, and it states the NBA stated that Sarver cooperated fully with the investigative process and that he was unaccepting of the idea that he deserved a 1-year suspension and a $10 million fine for his behavior. The punitive part of the process became largely acrimonious, sources said. Here's the deal. If there's even, you are a owner of two franchises, one men, one women's. If one hundredth of that was true of stuff that he was, that people said under oath, for normal people, we don't get to be suspended for a year and fine. Now we don't have $10 million. I mean, that's, you get fired for stuff like that. You get teams taken away for stuff like that. It is very, that is the problem that the NBA players have, the Major League Baseball players have, that the National Football League, the National Hockey League, that owners do not have to follow the same rules and guidelines as the players that they have under contract. It doesn't seem right. It's not a good thing. It's not a good look at all. All right. We have B Styles coming up. He's coming in on a Tuesday. He's going to be back here, 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM.
You're listening to Steve on Sports, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Tuesday. You're listening to Steve on Sports, bringing you your sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steve on Sports. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ as well. Hawkeye Huddle coming up after the show today. And then we'll jump into trying to see if, what do we have? Twins Royals. There it is. I had it covered up. Sorry about that. And you can, we're going to do Des Moines Orthopedic. Des Moines Orthopedic is helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. They are the specialist in orthopedic care. They'll take care of foot, ankle, hand, upper extremity, hip, knee, shoulder, spine, trauma, sport med, urgent injury. They do all of those. Now what they're doing is they are bringing in, they have purchased Engineer Performance. Engineer Performance by DMOS, an exceptional opportunity to become the leader in elite sports rehabilitation and performance training in Central Iowa. Our integrated team of physicians, physical therapists, and performance specialists are here to help you achieve greatness. And that's what you're going to get. It was already great. They've made it better. DMOS, Des Moines Orthopedic, thank you for being a part of the show. My next guest, it's Brendan Styles. He is at The B Styles on Twitter. B, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. Sunday made up for Saturday. Let's put it that way.
You did. That was Justin Fields looked good in a horrible day to play football, and he played really well.
Yeah. You know, I think the thing that, like, I don't want to say is the most, like, surprising, but I think it was, like, the biggest contrast, the most stark contrast from what I watched the last few years of Matt Nagy as the head coach versus what I saw from the team on Sunday with Matt Eberflus at the realm, or at the helm rather, is they were much more disciplined.
Yes.
And to me, it didn't seem like it was that really that much of a fluke that they beat San Francisco, only because they were the more disciplined team. The flags that were coming out, they were all being thrown on the 49ers, which I don't think anybody would have imagined coming into that game, considering San Francisco, you know, has been a consistent playoff team the last few years, and it was in the NFC Championship game a year ago. But it's crazy because for like the first, I'd say, 2.5 quarters of that game, the offense just looked dead. It looked non-existent. And then suddenly Fields is able to make that play where he finds Dante Pettis, and then Pettis is able to go down and score. And the game just totally flipped on a dime from there. The defense was making plays pretty much all afternoon. And really, I still don't necessarily think, okay, this is the makings of like a playoff team, but I saw some very encouraging signs from this past Sunday that give me hope for the future of this team. Maybe not so much in terms of wins and losses, but in terms of, you know, just being able to go out there and compete and just make life difficult for their opponents.
I said the same. The three things that I wrote down, because I knew we'd talk about the game, was discipline, preparedness, and a team aspect, that everybody was on the same page. And they didn't have that before.
Right. And that is a total credit to Matt Eberflus for just what he's been able to do, really, in, like, what, not even 8 months?
Yeah, it's incredible.
Especially because, like, it's not like the roster – and I know, obviously, they're going to have the most salary cap space in the league next offseason, but right now it's not like it's the most talented team by any stretch of the imagination, aside from, you know, your quarterback's probably your best player. Or I guess I should say Roquan Smith's the best player on the team. But, I mean, Justin Fields is probably the best player on that offense. And, I mean – I'm encouraged in the sense I think that they're going to stay in some games and maybe even surprise some teams. I'm not entirely optimistic about them winning this coming Sunday, but that would be great.
that's much tougher.
That one in particular, yeah.
But it'll be okay. You know, the NFL in general. I'm going to go. Okay, which way is he going? Are we going NFL first, and then we'll talk a little bit about the Hawkeyes? So let's keep on with it. Let's keep on with NFL for just a few. The biggest surprise over the weekend and the biggest disappointment watching all those games.
I think the biggest surprise is either the New York Giants going into Tennessee and winning, because I mean, if I had done a survivor pool, the Titans would have been my pick, so I'd already be out. But I'd either say that or what you saw last night, because that's a situation where you figured Russell Wilson was going to go in. The Seahawks obviously were not going to be anywhere close to what they had been before when they had him as their quarterback. But instead, that stadium was loud the entire game. And it seemed like the fans kind of carried Seattle through whatever difficult times they may have had. Denver just fumbling at the goal line. And then obviously the decision at the end, that blows my mind. And I'm sure you've harped on it, and I'm sure you've heard other people today do the same, but it bears repeating. You gave Russell Wilson all of that money to be your franchise quarterback for the next 5, 6, 7 years, and you're not relying on him to get you 5 yards in that instance, but you're going to trust your kicker, who granted has a good leg, but you're going to throw him out there to kick a 64-yard field goal. Like, if the game was in Denver, you may have a little bit more wiggle room because of the altitude. But that game being in Seattle,
windy,
that didn't make any sense. Because I would rather trust my quarterback get me 5 yards and then get my kicker closer to a place where he could probably make the kick and you come out of there with a victory.
On the offensive side of the ball, Nathaniel Hackett was the one coach that everybody was 50-50 on, because – you really don't know. Was it Aaron Rodgers or was it Nathaniel Hackett? The great thing for Nathaniel Hackett was that Aaron Rodgers was horrible on that day as well. So that made it a little bit better. My thing with Brian Daboll and Daboll, and I said this earlier in the show, and I want to say it again, because if that would have been the other regime and Daniel Jones would have thrown that interception.
You mean the regime that you and I both completely trashed last year?
Oh my gosh, horrible. They wouldn't have trashed him in person. They would have done it in the media and all that. What did Brian Daboll do? He went over there, told him what he did wrong, and said, "You're going to bring us back and you're going to win a game." And he did. Nobody has any idea what that could do for Daniel Jones.
Well, and you know, supposedly the other thing I heard from the New York media that he did during the game on Sunday was when they got in, he said that he knew that he was going to go for two in that spot if and when the Giants got a touchdown. But even then, he still went over to his defense and was like, "Hey, you guys want to go for the win here?" And they were all like, "Hell yeah, let's go for the win. We're on the road. Why not? I haven't won a game in God knows you know, how many tries. And now look, you got, suddenly there's a positive light shining on that team that hasn't been there since, like, well, you have to go back to when Eli was still the quarterback and they had Odell and what have you. So, yeah, to me, I think that was, you know, and then you throw in the fact that Dallas, with Dak getting hurt like that, suddenly, you know, I still think Philadelphia probably wins that division, but maybe the Giants find themselves in a position at season's end because of, and it all stems back from this game week one, where maybe they're in a competition for a playoff spot, for a wild card.
Yeah, and that's one of those things, once again, we're talking to Brendan Styles, he's at DB Styles on Twitter,
yeah,
that we are looking at when you're hiring these coaches. Except for the Broncos, who struggled just a little bit. I mean, the offensive coaches that you brought in, I mean, a lot of them had good days. And you know, that's kind of what you're looking for, that it's turning. Any other, like, were you surprised the Kansas City Chiefs played as well as they did?
No, because, I mean, it's Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it may be a little surprising in the sense that they could still be effective on offense like that without Tyreek Hill, but that was kind of what everybody anticipated, is the fact that, okay, it's going to be something where it's more of a collective effort, and that's what you saw this past Sunday, where, you know, he's throwing Kelce a touchdown, he's throwing Mecole Hardman a touchdown, he's getting Juju involved, he's getting Marquez Valdes-Scantling involved, like, he's getting all of his weapons involved, and it's one of those things where, hey, if all of them just get one, I mean, look at how many points they could put up in any given game.
One more before we jump into, sure, Hawkeye talk. Being with the NFC North, were you sad that Mike Zimmer wasn't on the sideline for the Minnesota Vikings?
Oh, not this past Sunday because they were playing Green Bay. But, yeah, I will say Minnesota looks good. I don't know. It hasn't gotten quite unbearable yet, right, because it is just one game. But
it's a home game, too. I mean, they play well,
right,
there. So,
yeah, for sure. And they do have talent. I mean, I like to bag on Cousins, obviously, but they do have Dalvin Cook. They do have Adam Thielen. They do have Justin Jefferson. They got guys for him to throw the ball to. Their O-line looks better.
And it was personal for Za'Darius Smith. It was personal,
yeah,
for him.
Exactly. Exactly.
I like that.
I mean, yeah, Minnesota, they look like a team that, if they could keep this going, they could very well be a playoff team.
Okay, so for both of them, being a Hawkeye fan, being a Cyclone fan, it wasn't a game that you threw back on the television after it was done and rewatched it. It was ugly.
You know what? See, I would say about three quarters, it was about the game that I thought it was going to be, and he even told you, especially because, like, Iowa State, there were those turnovers. There were the blocked punts. There were interceptions in the end zone. I think Iowa State actually had two trips in the red zone that both resulted in turnovers, but everything changed on that fumble.
Yep.
And, you know, it's one of those things. What I was saying on Saturday is, yes, the officiating, you could argue, was controversial. I thought Potabom had scored there initially, but it's one of those things where when they just make the call that, okay, he didn't score and Iowa State recovered a fumble, you got to trust that your defense is able to go out there and get a stop at that point. And at that point in time, Iowa's defense was gassed from being on the field as much as it was, and Iowa State picked up on it. And they slowly just started dinking and dunking their way down. And it was it wasn't exactly like 2015 in the Big Ten Championship game against Michigan State, but it had that feel to it where, like, as Iowa State was moving the ball, it was like, okay, this might be where Iowa's defense finally breaks, just because they've been out there for so long and Iowa State's now just gashing them with, like, little chunks at a time of yards, like 4 yards here, 5 yards there, 6 yards up the middle, what have you. And they finally broke through. And then at that point, it's like, oh, you know, can Iowa even get in a position to score points? And they had that field goal try late, but even that, you're just watching that thinking, okay, they probably aren't going to make this. And to Iowa State's credit, they kind of broke their will with that touchdown.
Yeah, and that kind of how it was. Press conferences today. Our buddy David Eicholt coming away.
I saw his tweets.
Yeah, going. You know, I mean, they hold Kirk Ferentz in such high regard. He's getting to a point where people are going to start turning on him. I mean, you can't keep saying those same things over and over and over again. Either you're going to lose the fans or you're going to lose the players. You're going to lose one or the other.
Well, it reminds me a lot of when I was on the beat back 10 years ago. It was Greg Davis's first year. They go 4-8, and everybody was wondering then what's going on with this offense. So, like, what kind of changes? How come you're not taking Vandenberg out when you have Jake Rudock and C.J. Beathard and what have you? And it feels very reminiscent of that, except for the one major difference now being that, hey, the offense coordinator is his son. And, by the way, I got to ask you, what do you think of what happened last night with those cameos? I'm sure Bob Stoops and Fran McCaffrey both feel terrible that they got tricked like that. But at the same time, it's just, oh my God. Like, it's all brought up. They're bringing all this on themselves with every single point, to your point. And like you said, if they continue to do that, they probably are going to be in an okay position this week just because Nevada doesn't sound like a great opponent. But they could very easily struggle next week going into Rutgers, and then you got Michigan coming in, and then suddenly, you know, the wheels could completely come off at that point. So it's very delicate, and they're going to have to figure some things out quicker. This season's going to totally unravel on them.
I mean, they're favored by 20.5, and the over-under is 40.5. I mean, that it makes no sense. It's nonsensical, yeah. And that's what I was going to ask you, because if maybe they corrected a little bit against Nevada, but what happens if they don't? Rutgers can score. They've already shown that this year. Michigan can score. Illinois can score. Ohio State can score. Northwestern can score. Purdue can score. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin can score. And Minnesota can score. And then you have Nebraska.
And not only that, but all these teams are going to be familiar with Iowa already because they're in the Big Ten. And they know exactly what they're going to expect going in. So it's, like I said, it's a matter of, okay, they might be able to fix some things here this week, but I don't know how much this week's game is going to, like, indicate, like, any sort of positives that could happen, that could come, you know, long term. I think it's something where, depending on what they do, you just really got, at this point, got to hope for the best, and that could be an issue.
Yeah, you can't be 2-for-1. Your defense is on the field twice as long as your offense is.
It's not going to
last, and especially not in that. I mean, that's a tough schedule, and your defense can't be on the field all that time. Or two things are going to happen. People are really going to start trying to find ways on, you know, certain people they're going to pick on, or people are going to start getting injured. And then what do you do?
Right. Well, it's one of those things, too, with the quarterback situation where, like, with Petras, it's to the point where I feel bad for him because it's not his fault when the coaches constantly keep putting him out there in the same situation over and over again and expect him to do something different.
Yeah, I think there's a saying about that, but we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that on Thursday, buddy. Thanks for jumping on.
Okay, sounds good.
And we'll do some picks on Thursday and talk upcoming games. Thanks, buddy.
All right.
B-Styles, rocking. You're listening to Scene on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ.
Sign up for 101 Man Who Lives and Breathes Iowa Sports. Steen on Sports, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Last segment on this Tuesday. It's that time of night. Be safe driving home, please. We need to get you home. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. Hawkeye Huddle. Chiefs Chargers on Thursday. Twins Guardians. UNI Sacramento. State on Saturday, Sunday, Dolphins, Ravens, Bengals, Cowboys, Bears, Packers, Titans, Bills, Vikings, Eagles. That's a lot of football. Get ready for that. That's going to be a great weekend. Want to thank sponsors of the show, Des Moines Orthopedic, Heritage Building Maintenance, Woodman Controls, Iowa Cubs, Northwest Bank, and Palmer Group. Couldn't do the show without you. I want to thank B. Styles for coming in. Sorry for my oldest son, Zachary, for forgetting what day I wrote down. I told him Tuesday. I wrote it down on Wednesday. Totally my fault. It was, you know, that's just the way it goes sometimes. I got a lot of stuff going on. Going to do a little potpourri. And to finish off the day, there's always stuff. I go through social media. I try to hit on as many things as I can. One of the things that was out there today, the best teams. Do I think it's the Bills? Do I think it's the Bucks? Do I think it's the Chiefs? Do I think it's the Vikings? The Ravens, the Chargers, the Rams. It's definitely just some of these that they had in here. Colin Cowherd today had the Chiefs, the Bills, the Vikings, the Ravens, the Chargers, Tampa Bay, the Rams, Miami, Philadelphia, Denver. It's so tough. It's too early. We need three games. I want three games. I want you to get a home game. I want you to get a road game. Maybe four. So then you're 2-2. So you're gonna know. You're gonna know after that. If I had to pick right now, man, the Buffalo Bills played really, really well. Kansas City Chiefs played really, really well. Tampa Bay, even injured and down offensive linemen, won in Dallas. And I thought the Vikings looked great. So those four right there, boy, that would be hard to try to figure out. You know, I don't know what else you look for. You have to have more games under your belt to get through that. I'm getting a lot of social media feedback on the whole Iowa quarterback and Hayden. Wow, look at that. It's been a day. I had a busy day at work today too. It's crazy. Just going through some of the Iowa Hawkeye stuff, you know, it's always unfair. I don't like the fact that Spencer has to take that as a 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old kid. I don't know. Most games with 3-plus passing touchdowns and 1-plus rushing touchdown in NFL history. Drew Brees has 9. Tom Brady has 8. They played in the league for over 20 years. Josh Allen had 7 already. That is a very amazing young man. College game day is averaging 2.1 million viewers through the first 2 weeks. It's best start to a season in over a decade. And I know people don't like to hear it, and I think a lot of people don't know how to understand it. I get Lee Corso still coming in. I'm glad he's not. You know, he's not there the whole time. I get the other people that are on there. They're good. They're smart. They know their football. Pat McAfee makes a difference, folks. He makes a difference for a reason. He is the real deal. So I have to say this, and I don't know her last name, so I'm not going to get in trouble. But they had this on social media today. So her name is Kelly. And she broke her leg celebrating ISU's win on Saturday. Her husband says that this was her second injury, Iowa State injury. She was trampled and knocked unconscious when running the field after ISU beat Nebraska 20 years ago. Says that Kelly says both injuries were worth it. That's hilarious. That's the part. That's the fun part about social media. When you get fun things like that, not people picking on my buddy David Eicholt, who I will be talking to tomorrow, Zach Steenblock tomorrow, Maddie Nelson tomorrow. It's a much better phone conversation when Maddie Nelson being 2-0 instead of 1-1. So we'll have some fun with that. Let's see here. There was a lot of this one shocked me. Most games with 200 passing yards, 2 passing touchdowns, and 0 interceptions. Davis Mills has 4 of those games. He was drafted in 2021 as Houston Texans quarterback. The Houston Texans might have got their quarterback and didn't have to pay a ton for it. That's a pretty big deal that stays that way. A lot of people, I mean, I've gone through Hawkeye Huddle. They're gonna just put this one to bed too as well. Chuck Long said today, you know, Kirk's decision-making progress on last Friday's show said Kirk listens to differing views, but in the end, he makes the final call. He's the head coach. He's the one that has to take it. It's just something that you have to get used to, because he's not changing. This was one. Somebody just sent this one to me. Navy has more passing yards, 234, than Iowa has, 201, this season, and they've only had 8 completion of passes. That's pretty funny. Updated national championship for college football. Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, Clemson, Oklahoma, USC, Oklahoma State, Kentucky, Arkansas, Michigan State, BYU, Miami, Utah, Tennessee, North Carolina State. North Carolina State is going to have, I mean, a lot of these teams, they've got some tough games coming up. Georgia, Alabama, one of them's going to get knocked down. Ohio State has Michigan. They have Iowa. That's going to be tough. Same with Michigan. Clemson may have the easiest, but they've tended in these last few years to miss some games. Oklahoma's going to have some tough games too. USC might have the second easiest, especially with Oregon being down some. Utah might be its biggest thing. Oklahoma State's going to lose some games. Kentucky's going to lose some games. Arkansas will. Michigan State's going to. BYU's already lost one. Miami's going to lose some games. I mean, it's going to be interesting, but NFL power rankings. So far, almost every bit I've seen either had Buffalo or Kansas City 1-2. Tampa Bay was 3. I don't know how good Dallas is. I know Dallas's defense is okay, but, man, they had no offensive anything, and Tampa Bay couldn't put the ball in the end zone and lost 2 more linemen. That's going to be tough for Tom Brady. I think the Philadelphia Eagles can surprise people. I think the Chargers still make too many mistakes. They might be a year away still. The Saints, the Vikings, the Ravens, you know, it depends on being healthy. The New Orleans Saints, Jameis Winston has to continue to play that way. 0 mistakes. If he does that's a really, really, it's a really, really talented team, but man, they're mistake prone. These 2021 playoff teams lost in week 1. Green Bay, the Raiders, the Rams, the Patriots, the Cowboys, the Titans, the Cardinals, the Bengals, and the 49ers. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's 9 playoff teams lost in week 1 this year. Stock up, stock down. I thought that was kind of a funny one today. Saquon Barkley, absolutely up. Cade York, up. Jerry Jeudy, up. Julio Jones, up. Carson Wentz, up. Aaron Rodgers, down. Damian Pierce, Cam Akers, Allen Robinson, CeeDee Lamb. So if Allen Robinson and Cam Akers are down, you might want to have Matthew Stafford be down too, but he was not. TJ Watt might not be as bad as they thought it was. I mean, he's definitely going to miss week 2, miss week 3, but there's a chance that he could come back before then. That would be crazy. There's just been, it's amazing that DraftKings, I saw this one today. I'll do it. I can't even do that really quick. I'm going to save that one for tomorrow. DraftKings and Amazon made a deal today. That's 2 big players making a little bit of a deal. You've been listening to Scene on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM. Tomorrow, David Eicholt early, Zach Steenblok at five. Maddie Nelson coming in as well. Looking forward to that, and I will see you tomorrow.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.9.